Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Appreciate that. Hallelujah. So we're here in our finishing our last week in our New Year's Revolution message series. I think it's been good. Amen. I hope you've been challenged by this. I hope you've been challenged by this. I hope God is stretching you a little bit. And let me go over real quickly the messages that we had thus far. If you can put up the list there, my wonderful tech team. First week we talked about radical love. That's a love that's beyond your natural ability to love. We talked about serving radically. That's literally putting the value that's on your life on other people. And that is how we become great in the kingdom. We talked about trusting God radically. That means that we take our hands off the reins sometimes. We actually trust that Jesus knows where he's going. Last week, we talked about giving radically. We talked about the blessing that God has for people when you put him first in your finances. When you set aside the first 10%, God calls it the tithe, and he then blesses the remainder. We talked about how if you're on your own in your finances, you're on your own. We put Jesus first, and he sets things in order. Funny, my wife had a devotion this week as she was reading. She gave us a devotion for our family, and she talked about in the book of Ruth, how Boaz, we talked about how in the Old Covenant, you had to leave some of the fruit of your fields, the produce of your crops in the field. You couldn't reap it all. You had to leave it for the poor. And the Bible says that he didn't trim the corners. He didn't glean them all so that the poor could glean from the fields on their own. And the Bible says that he never lacked. That he never lacked. Not only that, he had the lineage of Christ in his family line. I would love Christ to be my grandson, great-grandson, great-great. I would love to be in the lineage naturally of Jesus, wouldn't you? Some people want to brag about I had a president, I have a baseball player in my family. In my family, we have someone who's in the Boxing Hall of Fame. I'd love to say Jesus. I can go back to Henry VIII. I go back to Jesus. That'd be pretty cool, right? But we know that was in his line. And so we talked about radical giving, and today we're going to talk about radical faith. Amen? Amen? Look at your neighbor. Say, today, we're talking about radical faith. Pay attention. You might need this. Tell them, you might need this. Are you telling anybody? Tell somebody, you might need this. Tell them, you might need this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Radical faith. We live in a world of gumbo faith. Like everything's mixed together and we kind of glean from whatever we want, whatever feels good, that's our belief system. You believe that, I believe this, it's all the same because there's one God and maybe there's many, maybe there's one, maybe there's not, maybe I'm God, who knows? We're all serving God, right? No, right? And so what we found is if you're radical about something, that means you have to be not radical about something. If you're radically for something, you're generally radically against something else. You are radically removing stuff that erodes your radical faith. And here's what we want to do from this series. This is not a church. You probably gathered this already. This is not a church where we just have a neat meeting. You have a neat teaching that tickles your brain and you go home and you forget it, right? Like, that don't work here. Like, we actually expect the gospel to produce something in our lives. If the height of your Christianity is Sunday morning, you're doing it wrong. Right? This should not be the mountaintop. You're doing it wrong because Christ Jesus lives at your home. And more importantly, his heart is for the people on the streets who don't know him. And if you're not carrying something for them, hey, if you're in a season of healing, get your healing. If you're in a season of recovery, get your recovery. But that can't be the call on your life. There is a place that I'm healed enough to go and change the world. I'm healed enough to go and impact somebody's life. I'm recovered enough to help somebody who needs recovery. Right? Healed people heal people. Right? And as you're coming into faith, we're expecting this to produce something in your life. There's too much anointing in this church for you just to be sitting here and looking at it. Amen. Bless you. Amen. So what we want to do is we don't believe in icons, and we don't believe in religious figures and whatnot. We do believe in memorial stones. We do believe in physical things that remind us of what God did. And I like to keep them. You know, maybe you have a journal that you go through that reminds you of what Christ did. Maybe you have pictures in your home that remind you of moments with Christ. Maybe there's paintings that speak to you. Not literally, speaking to you, right? But they inspire you somehow, right? Maybe you have scriptures in your home. I do too. Here's what we have. In the foyer after service, we have these little rocks. Now, there's nothing on the rocks, right? They're not anointed at all. But there's some markers out there, some metal markers. And you're going to take one of those five messages, be it love or serving or giving or trust or faith, what God is calling you to contend for this year. You're going to write it on the rock. And you're going to put it somewhere where you can remember it. Maybe you're going to put it on your nightstand. Maybe you're going to put it in your living room. Maybe it doesn't even have to be obvious. You don't have to frame it. But something that can remind you, man, this is what we're contending for this year. Amen? You're going to write on it. You're going to take it home. I want you to be asking Christ today, what am I supposed to be contending for? It's probably not what you think. He'll speak to you. He'll speak to you. And I have found that it's better to contend for what he wants to give you. Because then you're setting yourself up for success. Amen? Right? Like if you wake up in the morning thankful for the air, I promise you, you'll be happy all day because you'll have air the entire day. Right? Air doesn't seem important until you're underwater, right? Yeah. Then it gets very, very important very quickly. We wake up thankful for the things that God has already given us. It creates a thankfulness within us that we can appreciate the other things in life. And so as you're contending for these things, as you keep it on your mind, keep it to your forefront so you can look at it and be praying. Amen? We're going to talk today about radical faith. And I want to just share some scripture, some things that Jesus said about himself. Throughout this message series, I've shared some of the radical teachings of Jesus so that we can have a revolution this year. And if you grew up in Western culture, Christianity can, the gospel can almost be inoculated of its power because we get so familiar with it. We get so familiar with it. So many people will say, call themselves Christians, and all that means is that's the style of religious jewelry they buy. Right? That's literally all there is. And when you get down to the... And I'm not attacking anyone's faith. Only God knows. Amen? But Jesus said some pretty radical things that eliminate some other things. We're going to share some of the scriptures today that Jesus said about himself, and then I'm going to challenge you in a handful of ways. All right, you ready? Are you ready? Listen, if you get convicted in this message series, next message series is going to be on worship. And then you can just kind of float around for a couple weeks. All right, are you good? Amen? You good with that? We're just going to talk about worship for a couple weeks, and God's going to invade. All right, you ready? You ready? Here we go. Jesus made this radical, radical statement, I am the way. That's crazy. I mean, how arrogant can you get to say I? If you say I'm the way, that means there's no other way. And that's arrogant unless it's true. It ain't bragging if it's true, right? He said, I am the way. He made it very, very definitive. There were no other ways. There's no other ways to the Father. It's him. I am the way. And then he said several other things that would seem radical from the outset. Let's look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15. This is after Jesus had been crucified and rose from the dead. So it's probably fairly important since he wasn't around for a long time, right? He could have taught on anything, could have told people to remember anything he wanted. He could have emphasized pet doctrines, could have done whatever he wanted. This is what he chose to emphasize. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. All right, that sounds okay. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be, what's that word say? Saved. Didn't say might be. Shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be, what's that say? Verse 17. These signs will accompany those who believe. Now, we already found out who the believers are. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. And these signs shall accompany those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll pick up serpents. And if any of them drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. A lot of debate about those scriptures these days. And as we like to call it, there's a lot of biblical hopscotch happening where people believe one chapter of the Bible, don't believe the next. I believe, Romans chapter 11 or 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 12 is no longer in effect. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, absolutely. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, no, not so much. It's. I don't know how they keep up with it. I don't know if there's like a cheat sheet of Bible verses that we don't believe, but we say we still believe the whole Word of God. I don't know how you fit that into intellectual honesty, but we believe the Word of God. We believe everything Jesus said. I don't believe he was confused. I don't believe that that you need a contextual. I believe he said what he meant, and I believe he knew that the Spirit of God was going to repeat these words to his disciples as they wrote these scriptures. Amen. He's not confused. So these are some of the things that Jesus said about himself. The Bible says in John 18:38 that he came into the world. That means he came from somewhere else to the world. As a matter of fact, in John 3:13, it said he came from heaven. Came from heaven into the world. These are the words of Jesus. In John 7:16, he said that his message comes from God and its truthfulness can be tested. I'm not scared of scientists. I don't understand Christianity's fear and denunciation of scientists. You cannot discover a lie. You can only discover truth. Now, it may challenge your view of truth, but you cannot unprove God by digging in the ground or splitting atoms. Study DNA or look at the stars. The Bible says it all testifies of God's goodness. Amen? It all testifies of his glory. Search it all. You will not find an ungod, no matter how much we search. Are you with me? His truth can be tested. John 8:29, it says, God was always with Jesus. Period. Always with Jesus. And in John 4:38, he said that his number one, Jesus Christ, his number one task and the thing he always thinks about is pleasing his Father, who happens, as it turns out, to be God. What he thinks about, pleasing his Father, who is God. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus never said he was God. Yes, he did. He said he was the Son of God. He said he's God's, his Father, and that he's joined to him and he's always with him. John 14:9, Jesus said that he has a divine nature. He testified of his divinity and his oneness with the Father. He said that. There's belief systems today who said he was just a prophet come to correct things. That's not what Jesus said. And I don't think Jesus was confused about who his Father was. He don't need Maury to do a test. And the test comes back. You are God. I guess we should worship now. You know, like, he always was God, always will be God. He was very clear about what he was called to do. Amen? He knows where he came. Could you imagine growing up in heaven and not remembering that? I believe he remembered that. You remember him creating the entire planet? Are you with me? Yeah. Creating everything that you see, the Bible says, was created through him. I think he remembered that when he walked the earth. I don't think he forgot. John 8:46 says that we can believe him because he has no sin. We can believe what Jesus teaches us because he has no sin. That's why we sing the song. You're never going to let me down. Because he'll never pump you up for a promise he's not going to come through on. It's impossible. It is impossible for God to lie. Test him. He can't sin. So you can believe every word he says. John 15:13 says that Jesus loves people so much that he'd die for them. He loves people so much that he would die for them. Hear me. Jesus said, I am the way. You can believe him because he can't sin. You can believe him because God is always with him. You can believe him because he came here from heaven. You can believe him because he has a divine nature and he is one with God, who happens to be his father. Amen? And in spite of all this, he says, I love people so much, I would die for them. I want to rush through my message here because I want to finish on time. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Jesus talked about hell and said we should avoid it. There's popular teachings now that somehow the Bible writers were confused about. Oh, well, Ganesh actually, if you be, no, he talked about hell a lot. And he also said we should avoid it. Now, I don't know where you're at faith-wise in this room, but if you have to choose a faith today, I say choose not to go to hell. That would be my choice. If you want to look clearly, that's what I would choose. I love talking to New Agers. I really like it because, number one, New Agers believe in a spirit world. They believe in a spirit realm more than most Christians. I don't say most because I haven't met most Christians, but more than many Christians in America. They believe that there is a spirit realm, and not for nothing, that's where our God lives. I don't know if you recognize that. He actually lives, that's where the angels are, in the spirit realm, right? And so they believe in the spirit realm, but they have kind of gone through the window instead of the door. And so we'll talk about faith, we'll talk about spirituality, and then they'll say things like, well, I believe this. And I'm like, well, that's neat, but you know, what you believe is irrelevant, right? Like, well, I don't want to believe in a God who would do this. I'm like, well, you know, it's kind of irrelevant what you want to believe. I don't want to believe that I didn't hit 6'2", right? But the facts are, it is what it is. Now, I can get a new tape measure, or I can just accept the fact that I'm just under. I don't have a Tinder profile, so I don't have to lie about my height. Thank you, Jesus. Those who got that, it's time to clean up your world. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, truth is truth, and you can't change it with your hopes, wishes, or beliefs. We either line up with it and get the blessings of God, or we just start inventing our own religion. And so I'll ask them, I'll say, so, hey, what do you call that? What do you call what? That religion that you're inventing. What do you call that? Because it's not Christianity. It's something that you have made yourself the center of, and you have made your belief and your will, hear me, your desire is now God. I have found that to live a fulfilled life, meet God, find out what he likes and line up with that, and then all of a sudden, things get good. You know when you show up to college, you know, or high school, or first day of class, they give you a syllabus, right? And they make it so easy. They say, listen, this is what you have to learn this semester. This is when I'm going to give you a test, and these are the chapters the tests are going to be on. And all you have to do is follow that, and you get an A. You'll have a project, and they'll say, this is what we're grading for on the project. If you do this, and so you do a project, and you come in with a diorama, and they say, actually, it's supposed to be an essay. And you say, well, I really believe that the right way to, you know, show this information is a diorama. I'm like, well, that's awesome. Well, if you want credit from the diorama class, you'll have to take that there. But for this class, you'll get an F. Because there's an actual professor in this class. If you go to play soccer, I don't know why you would, but if you did, Shots fired. Anybody see Arsenal beat Everton? Did anybody? 4-0? That was good. Anyway, so if you go to play in a league and you know y'all are kicking the ball and not tackling people for some reason, and you decide to tackle people and they like call a foul. And you're like, no, the way I play. And they're like, well, you're not going to play this game anymore, right? You're going to be kicked out of the game, right? So we'll line up with the rules of a class or a soccer game. But when we come to God, we're like, well, I think what I believe matters more than what you, who created me, believes, and the creator of the earth. What you believe is probably not as important as what I think you should believe. And Jesus is like, yeah, no, this is really, that's deception. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's, yet, if you can't hold a job, you're probably not starting a religion, right? Like, it's like, It's It's like when you see somebody's Instagram and they're like, Joe's Music Official. Like, you think someone's got an unofficial page of your music? I don't know if you've heard your music. It's not happening. It's not happening. This isn't necessary, right? Anyway, so Jesus said, I don't know who that was for. Jesus said, there's hell and you shouldn't go there. Look at this. Matthew chapter 23, verse 33. He asks the religious leaders of the times. Now, I'm going to translate this for you. He says, you children of snakes, how will you escape the sentence of hell? How would you like somebody to ask you that question? Hey, I just got a real quick question for you. How are you avoiding hell because you're so wicked? I'm just curious. How do you plan to avoid hell? Jesus asking the real questions, right? Like how do you answer that? Like, wait, what? How do you answer that? How are you going to escape hell with this religion? Well, I don't believe in hell. Time will be up at some point. A couple years ago, I don't know where I'm going here. I may finish on time. A couple years ago, we had a hurricane come by. And it was perfect offshore, and it went up the shore. And, you know, if you're a surfer, you know, when the hurricane is at the right angle and the winds are going the right way, we get beautiful sets coming in, right? It's not often we get good sets here. And I said to myself, this is going to be awesome. So I went to the sporting goods store, and I bought a boogie board. I'm like, I'm thinking GoPro video, right? I'm thinking, this is going to be amazing. And so I get to the beach, and there's surfers. I'm like, these don't look like the waves that I've seen before. And I start paddling out. And I couldn't actually get past the waves. And so I tried to the right, which happened to be in a rip current, right? But the waves are so big, there's a rip current with the waves, right? They're not going against it. And so I'm literally getting pounded. Now, the waves are so good, and there's so many surfers out, you know, there's all kind of photographers on the beach, right? Like, your pride will be exposed publicly if you don't deal with it. So I'm trying to go out. I don't get anywhere near riding a wave, right? Like, at no point that it look anything like anybody who should be in the water in this season. I went into the water expecting glory. I came out just thankful for my life, right? Like, I still have that boogie board, and we've only used it when our kids were little and they just sat on it at the beach. That was it. That's all it's ever done since that day. I went to the beach expecting to be a guy who rides. Then reality came and exposed that I am no surfer. I don't know if you knew that, but I am not. Reality will be exposed at some point, and we want to get the deception out of our lives before it's too late. Amen? Yeah. Watch this, Matthew chapter 13. Oh, Jesus, I got to keep this focused. I'm going to say this as well. I'm going to say this briefly. I don't know who this is for. Men, you get married and your wife treats you well and you have physical relations regularly and you get in your mind that you could do better and you want to see if you still got it. The answer is no, right? You don't have it because you gave it to your wife at marriage. And what will happen is that deception will be so strong until you actually act on it and your infidelity will be exposed. God cares about your wife too much. That's his daughter. You think he's going to let her be cheated on forever? And the enemy will wait until it's the most inopportune moment in your life for that thing to be exposed. He'll let you get on the hill, think things are going well. Boom. All right. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus said this. The Son of Man. Now, I believe Jesus knew what he's talking about here. The Son of Man will send forth his angels. They'll gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears, let him hear. I don't know how you read that and say there is no hell. Either you have more wisdom than Jesus, but it's real. Hell is real, unfortunately. Hell is real. Jesus also said, write this down, he is the only way to heaven. He was clear on this. He's the only way to heaven. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You can do all kinds of spiritual things. You can talk to dead people, and you're really just talking to the spirit that was on their life because it's familiar. You can do all kinds of spiritual stuff. You can levitate and you can do weird stuff, and it doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You cannot get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. There's no other way but to the Father, but through the Son. And Jesus also said that, write this down, believing in him is not enough. These are radical statements. Believing isn't enough. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. You got to know his will. You got to be following him. Does that mean you got to be perfect? No, that's not what he's saying. But you can't just say, well, I know he's God. Well, the demons know. The devil knows. The devil believes in God. He's not going to heaven. I saw this woman recently. She is of a faith that in Christianity that wears a collar. And this guy says to her, he says, Are you a minister? And she says, yes, I am. And he said, well, I don't believe in women preachers. And she says, well, I'm standing right here, so I don't know what to tell you. You like saying, I don't believe in this stage. I'm standing on it. You can say things often enough, doesn't change the reality, right? Jesus also said, write this down, you must be born again. You must be born again. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be reborn in Christ Jesus. And if you've been born again, you know. If you've experienced his grace and his forgiveness, you know. Another thing, let me tell you this. Write this down. It's not too late. If you're breathing, there's still hope. Your lost family member, your coworkers, even our Congress, it's not too late. Not too late. It's not too late. The time to receive the pardon for sins is not over. Jesus is still waiting, and he left us with an invitation. Romans chapter 3, verse 20. He says, here I am at the door. Here I am. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him. Those are the words of Jesus, the radical one who says, you have to enter through me. He follows it up with, here I am. Whoever lets me in, here's my knocking at the door. I'm going to open the door and let you come on into the kingdom. And we are going to live together forever. Two things I want to say about this. Number one, if you're in this room and you're waiting, deciding, if you're in the balance, I never want to minister out of fear. I do want to minister out of reality. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. Go to any funeral home in town, and the majority of them will be filled with people who are not expecting to die that day. Right? We don't know. And so this isn't a fear thing, but I want to let you know. You may want to wait, but waiting may not be an option. The enemy has a plan for your life. God has a plan for your life. Start following God's plan. Because if you're not, you're following the enemy's. There's a doorway to meeting Jesus, and it's right here at this banner. Now, it could be in your room, could be right where you're at, it could be wherever, but the way it was designed is that you talk with somebody and they pray with you. Number one. Number two, this is, to me, the craziest part of this entire thing that I'm talking about right now. Hear me. This is the crazy part. Hear me. The way he's decided to put this plan into action is us. But clearly, you have to have something better. Us. Maybe you should send the angels who are without sin to minister this. No. Nope. 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 It's you and me. We know that there's no way to God but through Jesus. We know that he's God. We know there's a real hell to avoid and a real heaven we're supposed to gain. We know that Jesus is waiting, and whoever calls upon his name will be saved. So what's missing? Somebody telling people. Somebody inviting people. Somebody caring enough to get awkward and have awkward conversations. Not being rude, not being mean, but radical enough to say, I have faith in God. I'm going to do what he's called me to do. I'm going to invite these people to church. I'm going to give them a ride if they need it. I'm going to get them in a place where the Spirit of God is. They can see that he's real and he's alive. Some of you are going to take the next level and just go find people, because that's what you're called to do. You're going to go in the highways and byways, and you're not going to settle for the here and there, but you need to reap souls. I want to release you to walk in that. Do not quench that fire in your life. That's going to inspire other people. If you're not walking, those of you called to be evangelists, if you're not walking in your call, then you're not able to equip other people to evangelize. You owe it. You owe it to Christ. You owe it to his body to be walking in that gifting. You hear me? You hear me? You have something the body needs. And everybody else, I don't know about you. I don't want my family going to hell. Not only that, I don't want them living in affliction in this life. Radical faith means I'm going to believe God and his word, and I'm going to step out even when it's scary. I'm going to invite somebody I may not know. I may be in Publix, and God says, I want you to tell that person that they're going to make it through their struggle. You're like, I don't even know them. Just do what I told you to do. You don't have to have the whole plan worked out. You don't have to have the whole altar ministry thing. You don't have to be their pastor. You have to just do what God tells you to do. And many of you, you're going to be taking radical steps of faith. Many of you, the first step in a supernatural life is going to be just inviting people to church. That alone will break down the lies that God has, that the enemy has been speaking to you, that people are going to reject you, that you can't do it. Hear me. Jesus did not say, if you're spiritual enough, then when you talk to people, I'll save them. He didn't say that. He didn't say, if you get all the sin worked out of your life, then I want you to go. No, and he said, just go. Again, we're going to go back to our first verse that we talked about. He's calling you to tell the world. Mark 16:15. He made it very clear. Go into the world and preach this good news to everyone. That's us. We have good news to tell. The enemy can't stop that. Hear me. The enemy never could stop that. But what he could do is harden some hearts and turn it into bad news so that people don't want to share it. I hear Christians talk more about essential oils than the gospel. It is insane. I'm like, have you prayed for these people to be healed? No, but I rubbed them with some scented olive oil. Well, that's interesting, but how about we just try the word? How about we just try it? What do you know? Let's give it a shot. You can rub them down with oil later. Let's just pray for people. Hear me. We have these rocks. God is talking to you. Don't hit him with the rock. Here's our five message titles. Love. serving, trust, giving, faith. Close your eyes for me. Ask the Lord right now. Love, serving, trust, giving, faith. What's he telling you? Love, serving, trust, giving, faith. I shared this message series not so I can write a book, not so we can tantalize the world, but so you can get activated in the call of God on your life. Love, serving, trust, giving, faith. Keep your eyes closed one more moment. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would reveal. God is going to speak to some of you right now. Some of you are just going to pick. But for those who feel like God's already, just keep your eyes closed if you would. Once you hear God, you get a leaning. I just want you to stand up because I want to pray for you. Just stand up right where you're at when you know where it is. All over the room. Come on, let this evoke faith in you. He's talking. Love, serving, trust, giving, faith. If you're not hearing him yet, don't try harder. Relax. Love. Radical serving. Radical trust. Radical giving. Radical faith. Father, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. There you go, right there. That's it, right there. You might see a picture. He'll tell you what it means. That's it right there. Sheka. Sheka. Shata. Some of you just ask him, what's the first step you want me to take, Lord? And then you'll know which one it is. Stand up when you hear it. Go ahead, stand up. If you think you might know what it is, go ahead and stand. If you didn't stand yet, just pick one and stand. Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you have amazing plans for these people this year. And I believe some of you are going to write something down and you'll say, no, write this. This isn't that step of faith. But Father, we want to follow you. We want this world to know that you're alive. We pray for divine appointments that we could demonstrate these gifts that you've given us. Newsflash, if God has called you to one of these things, that means it's in you already. It's in you already. Because he lives on the inside of you if you're born again. It's in you already. He's just waiting to get it out. Frederick Douglass, I prayed for 20 years for freedom. And I didn't see it until I started praying with my legs. Some of you are not going to see it until you actually take a step of faith in that direction. You start giving away money. You start tithing. You start serving someone. You start speaking the gospel. You begin to lay hands on someone to be healed. You begin to take your hands off and say, I'm nervous about how this is going to work out, but I'm trusting God. I'm not going to manipulate. I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to try to make this happen. I'm going to trust God and just be a good person. Listen, it's going to take a step of faith, and no matter what you're doing right now, put your hand on your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We thank you in the name. We thank you in the name of Jesus. And I call forth the gift of God on the inside of you. I call forth the gift of God on the inside of you. I speak life to dry bones. Life to dry bones. That this calling and gifting, this purpose, this kingdom purpose would arise in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen. Give a clap offering to the Lord if you would right now.